The first chapter of the book of Luke. First chapter in the book of Luke. In the first chapter in the book of Luke, I want to start in verse 26. And in the sixth, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. As I was reading in preparation for today, the Lord led me to this passage and began to work a work in my heart about some things I had never considered about this text. I realized that God's Word speaks to our heart at all times. It has already been said, it wouldn't hurt singing carols all through the year. I am learning that even passages about the birth of Christ, I'm learning they would fit any time in our lives, in our hearts. I see something in the angel's appearance to Mary that spoke to my heart in a way I never imagined. And by the help of the Lord, I'd like to share it with you today. I learned a couple of things about this text and thinking about how it changed Mary's life. I realize Mary at this time, most scholars say, was around 16 years old, just a teenager, had a lot in front of her. But in this story, I find our life changed. Mary and Joseph were in what was called the spousal period in their relationship. Alice, can you see if there's a cup for a little water? My mouth's dry, and I'm out of some up here. But they were in the espousal period in their relationship. That espousal would last at least about a year. But it was as binding as the marriage was in the commitment. And they tell us that the only way his espousal could be broken was by a divorce. That is why Joseph thought about putting Mary away privately. But we find in that period, this happens in the life of Mary. I think about all that Joseph and Mary no doubt had in their minds. I know whenever Angel and Alan were planning their marriage, there was a lot going on in their minds. Preparation of help. The wedding. Thank you. Preparation about where they would live. And preparation about all they would be facing as husband and wife. Planning a celebration. And no doubt, planning their future. How they would spend their lives together. But suddenly, everything changed in their life. I realized that life can be that way. Sudden events have a way of changing everything in our lives. An unexpected sickness. An unexpected loss. A sudden dilemma. And we find ourselves facing a changing situation of life. Maybe you today are dealing with some changes that you hadn't expected. Changes that had caused question in the future of dreams and aspirations of life. Maybe that's all in question because something has changed. What I find in this passage, and oh, how it spoke to my heart. I'd like to preach on this thought of when life takes you by surprise. When life takes you by surprise. I believe that there are some facts that we can find encouragement, find strength in from this story that helps us when life takes us by surprise. You say, preacher, you think Mary was taken by surprise? By all means, it says in the text that when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying. It cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What was going to happen? Would take Mary and Joseph completely by surprise. But there are some facts I find here to ever encourage it when that happens. First of all, let me say, when life takes you by surprise, it does not change the fact of God's grace. I notice in verse 28, April comes in and he said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." Then again in verse 30, he says, "For thou hast held favor of God." That words or those words, highly favored, those words mean to surround with favor, compass by grace, or to enrich by grace. I realize that Mary's story and our story is one and the same. We are highly favored of God. God has given us grace beyond measure. God has blessed us in all of our lives by grace. I am saved by grace. I am kept by grace. I will stand one day in heaven by grace. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. I'm glad that it does not change the fact of God's grace for our lives. Because I've learned this over the years, And when life takes me by surprise, God has new grace I didn't meet before. I've talked a lot along the days with heaven. Something I could not tell you. How many times he's made the statement about needing new grace, desiring new grace. And I've watched how God has provided that over and over and over. And I believe that is what the angel is trying to impress on the heart of Mary, bearing what I'm about to tell you. What you're about to face, God has compassed you with grace, not just today, but every day. God gives grace. So just because something causes us to be surprised in life, it does not change the fact of God's grace. Secondly, it does not change the fact of God's presence. Same verse. Gabriel says, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. Gabriel is about to drop a bombshell on Mary. It'll change everything in our life. Nothing is going to be the same anymore after this. Everything will change. But the angel says, one fact that does not change is that the Lord is with thee. When life changes, when plans fall apart, when it seems like difficulty is our closest companion, we can rest assured of the fact that the Lord is with us. That word Lord is the Greek word Adonai. That word means the one who has all authority and power. The Lord of Lords. Then Gabriel says, is with thee. That word with, I love this. That word with means to accompany us, or to be in the midst of us. Preacher, what is that saying? It is saying right now, in the exact place that you are, the Lord is with thee. I love that. God is in the midst of our surprises. God is in the midst of our troubles. God is in the midst of our situation. And He is accompanying us on the journey. have fallen down to ages. In Psalm 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he said, "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Thank God, I'm glad the Lord is with us. I believe with all of my heart, Mary was going to need that in the days to come. I believe Mary was going to probably go back to this event in her mind and remind herself, God said He had given me grace. And God said that He was with me. And she cast herself on those facts through life's changes. Little did Mary know all that she was going to deal with and all that she was going to face. I think about Mary was going to have to tell Joseph she's with child. Mary was going to have to tell her mom and dad, "I'm expecting a child, but it ain't Joseph's." Mary was going to have to tell his parents. Mary was going to have to face gossiping neighbors, mocking friends. Mary was going to have to face, at 9 months pregnant, an 80-mile trip to Bethlehem just to see her son born in a barn. And then, even afterward, Mary was going to watch her son be mocked. She was going to watch as people said he was born of fornication. But Mary kept these things in her heart, I believe. "Dad, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me." So when life takes us by surprise, it doesn't change the fact of God's grace. It doesn't change the fact of God's presence. And it neither does it change the fact of God's plan. In verses 29 through 31, Mary was troubled about all this. And the angel says, "Fear not, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and give birth to bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." One of the things that is often hard to realize and grasp when life surprises us and changes happen, it's hard often to realize God has a plan. God has a plan. I'll never forget years ago, I heard preacher Caleb Ridings make a statement. Brother Ridings said, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God?" I've never forgotten that. There is nothing that ever surprises God. Our lives are surprised. Our lives have changes. Our lives deal with difficulties. But God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." We might ask, preacher, what all was God saying? Let me paraphrase it a little. God was saying, "I know the designs and plans that I have, or I think, toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of you being made complete, either by addition or subtraction, and not of evil, to give you a destined goal." God was saying, "I have got plans for your life. I am doing things you may not always understand. But at times I add. Sometimes I subtract. But in the end, it gets you to the destined goal." God has a plan we don't always fully grasp. But He does have a plan. When life takes us by surprise, lastly, it doesn't change the fact of God's ability. Verses 34 through 37. Mary asks a natural question. How can these things be, seeing I know not a man? Then Gabriel says, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow thee." I want to tell you, whenever life surprises us, whenever things happen that we say, "God, I don't understand, why does this have to be?" God says, "It doesn't diminish my power. I can work in your life right in the middle of it all. It may not always be what I think. It may not always be the way I hoped. But God knows what He's doing." And to encourage Mary, He says, "Mary, your cousin Elizabeth, you remember in her old age, called barren, she is with child at 6 months." And then the angel says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing shall be impossible with God. The angel's reminding her, all of these things you don't understand, God has got ability and power to handle it. I didn't read the verses. Then Mary leaves and goes to the hill country. And there she spends days with Elizabeth. I don't know always how he does it, but it seems like when something happens in our lives, God puts somebody else in our lives that will encourage us. I don't understand all about that. And maybe they have gone through the same things. Maybe they have faced problems also. And God will bring them into our lives that encourages and helps us. I remember a preacher that I know. His grandson drowned, and I remember he talked about when he went to the hospital. He said, there was my daughter crying uncontrollably. He said, I tried to comfort her, and it didn't do any good. But he said, a nurse showed up and he got down in front of her and said, I know what you're going through, because the same thing happened in my life and in my family. I know how you're hurting. He said that nurse did more good for her than anything I could say. God has a way of doing those things, of putting people in our lives right when we need it. Right when we need it. Verse 38 ends, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary, with humility and obedience to God, said, according to your word, be it unto me. In other words, I believe she was saying, if that's God's will, I'll walk this path. I'll go this way for His glory and His honor. Mary surely didn't understand it all, but she humbly accepted it as God's plan in her life. That's true submission. I'll be honest with you today. I'm afraid I've not always been that submissive. I'm afraid there's been times that things have been in my life and I wonder why, and I question God, and I get a little irritated, aggravated. God, why does it have to be this way? I'm afraid I'm not always humble and submissive. Maybe you wouldn't admit that. I will. I'll admit it. I'm that way at times. But I wonder how many blessings I've missed in my life because my attitude wasn't right to what God said in my life. I wonder how many times God wanted to do some things for me, but my heart wasn't submissive unto Him and His will. I don't know how that may speak to your heart today. And a lot has spoke to mine. I've never seen that passage like that. I have never preached this message anywhere else, any other time, like this. But all it spoke to my heart. God, whatever you have in my life, I want to have Mary's attitude, knowing that I'd not be easy. I'd be a hard road. But God, I want to be humble and submissive to your will.